This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hi there, Joycers. It's Jim here. And I'm in the studio with a whole bunch of people because we've got very interesting things to talk about tonight. And but before we start, I actually wanted to say something about the horrible happenings at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, at the hands of a homophobic gunman. And I want to add my abhorrence at the hypocritical condolences from those conservative and religious leaders who have disrespected the LGBTI community for years now and are now trying to make political capital of their support for us. I just don't believe them, and I have no respect for political and faith leaders who will not openly recognise us as citizens with the same rights as all citizens. Hating the sin and loving the sinner is such rubbish, and all it does is drives hostility, anger, discrimination, stigma. I like our real allies who know that all people are humans with inalienable human rights that are not contingent on faith or the opinions of other people. Make no mistake, this is where hate and intolerance leads us. This affects all of us in the LGBTI community all over the world, not just in the USA. So that said, tonight we're going to talk about how real allies can provide real support with respect to our communities. As our listeners know, we have a government in Victoria that has a wide-ranging equality agenda, has a Minister for Equality, a Commissioner for Sexuality and Gender, and has committed to strengthening anti-discrimination legislation in the Charter of Human Rights. And recently we witnessed the Premier Daniel Andrews make an historic apology in the Parliament to gay men for now repealed homophobic laws and encourage those with convictions under these laws to apply for expungement of those convictions from the criminal records. This was a very important act for our community, and we have in the studio tonight a number of people who have been active in the LGBTI community. Jamie Gardner, a former Equal Opportunities and Human Rights Reform Commissioner in Victoria, and within the ALP has been the activist who has led the development of the agenda that we now see adopted by the Andrews government. We'll be talking on the phone later to Anna Brown, former co-convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, a human rights lawyer and now the ED of Australians for Equality, that is leading the campaign for a yes vote should the Turnbull Abbott government be re-elected and force us to have a marriage equality plebiscite, that is putting our human rights at the mercy of public opinion, an act that totally negates us as equal citizens simply wanting to live in this society. We also have in the studio Commissioner Awena Allen, the Commissioner for Sexuality and Gender in Victoria, and Ro is one of the very first and important achievements of that sexuality, that equality agenda. So joining me on tonight with Ro and Jamie in the studio is John Wintle, who's on the panel, and you'll have heard him lots of times, our intern Rory Blundell, who's a young trans man and who is going to add his perspective among a bunch of cisgendered older people. Rory is becoming increasingly well known for his work at Minus 18. So hello, Jamie.
Hi, Jim.
Hello, Ro.
Hey, Jim. How are you going?
Good. Hello, Rory.
Hi.
Hello, John.
Hello.
So, Jamie, can you tell us a bit about the history of the equality agenda?
Well, Jim, the equality agenda that we now have was perhaps really conceived in the lead up to the 2010 election, although obviously it has roots going much further back. But in 2009, when we set up the GLBTI Affairs Policy Committee in the Labor Party, we'd been looking already in a number of ways at what we needed to do next. We being people who, many of whom had been on the Attorney General's Advisory Committee when Rob Hulls was Attorney General, and on the Health and Human Services Advisory Committee when Daniel Andrews was Health Minister, actually. And we looked at the sorts of things that we wanted and put some of them into the ALP platform in 2009.
And remarkably, they stayed there.
And they stayed there and they grew. And they grew in consultation with people like Ro Allen. Hi, Ro. Okay. And with Martin Foley. Oh, hi, Minister. And with support within the Labor Party, partly developed as we were getting the policy up, and it grew. It got bigger, and it got bigger partly because of the personal commitment of the Premier, the then leader of the opposition, I mean. And the result was that we have developed this structure of the equality agenda with a Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, based in his branch. The equality branch is now part of the Department of Premier and Cabinet, which is, if you want influence in the whole of government, exactly where you need to be, with the Commissioner, Ro Allen, sitting here with us tonight, and with an LGBTI task force, which advises the Minister and the whole of government on LGBTI issues. And Ro is on that, I'm on that. Anna Brown, who will be with us on the telephone soon, is also on that. And Brenda Appleton is the chair. And Dr. Ruth McNair is also a member. Ruth chairs the working group on health and human services of the task force. And Anna chairs the justice working group, or co-chairs the justice working group of the task force. So we have this structure now. The government has created this structure, and it's taken a while to get everything running smoothly, but it's going well. It comes out of policy work that had been done during the period of the 10 years of the Braxton Brumby governments, and some of that reaches back further into the past. Everything that happens has antecedents. Well, that's probably more than enough for answering Jim's question, yes?
Well, it does show that this is a hard task, really. So, Rowena, what I'd like to ask you is, how did you get there?
How did I get there?
Is it easier working with a fully formulated, or a sort of formulated, it's not fully formulated, but a formulated equality policy agenda?
I think when you've got leadership like we have in the moment in Victoria, it's, you know, it makes open doors and makes everything possible. It's that authorising environment that perhaps we've been building up to. But when, you know, Daniel Andrews, as the Premier, the largest Facebook like he had was when he marched with us at Pride, or his largest response or retweet was when he tweeted the New South Wales Premier about the Gaby Baby documentary, you know you're on a bit of a winner in Parliament and in government. And he's just so committed to it. And having a Minister for Equality means there's someone in Cabinet always putting our issues on the table, and that's something that really does a lot of cut through. And the Commissioner just adds, I think, to that, and having an equality unit with inside the department, because you really, at the end of the day, all of that is fantastic, but you do need some arms and legs.
Do they listen to you?
Yes, yeah, so it's a very small group, I should say. It's only a group of about four or five people. But they ran around and things like the apology don't just happen. You know, you actually do need people to organise all those things. So, you know, we come up with the ideas, but there's a group of people now in government that run around and make those things happen, Jim, and that's pretty critical.
But I do notice that you are on the 13th floor and the lift only goes to the 12th. So that's a bit like being in the demountable out the back, isn't it?
There's four lifts, and it's a bit of a lottery. If you press them and the ones on the left-hand side get you to 13, and then the ones on the right-hand side get you to 12, and I always think it's like a Russian roulette in exercise, and I have to walk up the stairs.
Well, that's good for you, so that's okay. But have we been nice enough to you in the time that you've been the Commissioner? Because it's actually very important, isn't it, for the community to be in behind the Commissioner and the Commissioner to be acceptable and accepted by the community.
Look, it's been very busy and it's been fantastic, and people have been fantastic. Overall, absolutely fantastic. As you know, you included, people are quite happy off, you know, one-to-one to tell me
tell you exactly
what I should be doing. But on air and publicly, no, all the time, really, very, very supportive. You know, and it's hard to say no to a community. I come from the community and, you know, my work schedule's pretty rugged. But, you know, I know what it means to have a minister or a premier or a commissioner come to a community event. So I try to get out and be available where I can and try to listen and take the voices. I think, you know, of all the things that I've done, the things that are the most meaningful for me is when I can help an individual. And I've been able to do that in the last 11 months, and as well as some of the major law reform that we're doing together. It's important to make sure I get out there and listen and get it done.
We're going to take some community announcements now, but I'm going to come back after this and ask both of you about the extension of the agenda and also talk about the apology to gay men. So we'll go to some community announcements, and then we will have a bit of music, and then we will be back.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Joysters. You are listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and tonight we're talking about the equality agenda, and we have special guests in the studio, Rowena Allen, who is the Commissioner for Sexuality and Gender in Victoria. We have Jamie Gardner, who's a long-term activist in the gay community in the area of human rights and law reform. And I'm joined on the panel with John Wintle.
Very good to be here.
And also with our intern, Rory. Hello, Rory.
Hi, Jim.
And I'm now going to ask Jamie a very skating on thin ice question. So as we all know, there is a federal election coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, funnily enough, I'm so bored that I just tune out these days. But anyway, there is a federal election coming up, and the Labor Party has actually made a fairly important announcement, haven't they, with regard to an equality agenda?
They have, yes.
So haven't they agreed to almost replicate the commissioner's position at the federal level?
I think that's effectively what they've agreed to. They've certainly announced there will be an LGBTI affairs commissioner in the Human Rights Commission, a new position. Yes.
So that's the commission which is headed up by Gillian Triggs, and where the commissioner for sex discrimination and
it's a bit different from Rose's position, because this is proposed to be in the Human Rights Commission, which is an equal opportunity and an anti-discrimination body, but it's also a human rights commission as well, as its name says. And so the LGBTI commissioner will be like on the same par as the sex discrimination, age discrimination, disability discrimination, race discrimination commissioners. Making that work, of course, requires, as Roe has in a slightly different context, a variety of related commitments, which haven't been spelt out, but I think we will all have to put our collective minds to work to make sure that the policy is fleshed out. There's a substantial number of LGBTI policies expressed in the Labor Party's platform, I know, because I helped put them there in 2011 and in 2015. And so that there's a lot of detail in the ALP platform of the sorts of things that will be on the agenda to go around that recently announced promise of an LGBTI commissioner. The other important commitment that Bill Shorten has made, or the platform has made, in 2011, the platform was amended to say that Labor will introduce marriage equality. And last year, 2015, Bill Shorten announced that it was his promise, which has been refreshed and renewed several times, that if he is elected, then Labor will introduce a marriage equality bill in the first 100 days and it will pass.
And that means no horrid plebiscite.
That means no horrid plebiscite. And the plebiscite is something that's absolutely opposed by every LGBTI organisation and all of our allies. Everyone knows.
Every thinking person.
Every thinking person and every decent person. Mm. because the plebiscite will be an opportunity for anti-equality voices to vent their spleen, drown us in their bilge in a way that is unprecedented. They're bad enough at the moment, as we've seen in the attacks on safe schools, for example, but they will be worse. Even today with this ghastly, terrible, terrible homophobic attack in Orlando, Florida, the number one, the donkey vote candidate in the Senate for Tasmania is a chap whose name I can't remember.
His name is Peter Madden.
I was just going to say that his surname is Madden, and boy, he maddens me.
And he's
spoiled my line.
He is the Senate candidate for the Family First Party.
And his statement, it's too revolting, I can't possibly say, but let us say that he stepped in to suggest that, dearie me, as you suggested in the beginning, he said, yes, well, Orlando's bad, but not nearly as bad as the danger to the clear and present danger, which is an American term. I wonder where he gets that from, the clear and present danger to Australia's children by marriage equality. What utter bilge and ghastly dangerous stuff. And that really hurts people. It hurts kids. It hurts kids of same-sex parents. It hurts their friends. It hurts gay kids who haven't, gay, lesbian, trans kids who haven't yet come out in particular. And it is really harmful stuff. So, yes, there are issues in the election that really matter. And there are dangers in the plebiscite that are really serious.
And which actually undermine the equality agenda to a large extent, because they make legitimate the view that public opinion should determine people's human rights.
Yes, it's something that is absolutely contrary to the Westminster tradition, contrary to all good principle. We elect members of parliament to debate and pass or reject laws, and the only times that the issues around, for example, discrimination come in is when the law is changed as a law of general application, not something that is pointed at, and in particular pointed at delegitimising one particular group.
And in fact, the only time where this has been anywhere near the courts in Australia was when the High Court ruled over the ACT marriage legislation, that the federal parliament had the clear responsibility and power to make the decision.
Yes. There was some argument from the antediluvian, from the troglodytes, like this Madden person. There was argument in the anti-marriage equality, the anti-equality line, that it was beyond the power of the Constitution. And thanks, in fact, to our next online phone guest, Anna Brown, and the Human Rights Law Centre, who managed to raise this properly to the High Court, and the High Court said unanimously, the Parliament has the power under the Constitution to legislate for same-sex marriage, for marriage equality, to be precise. The Parliament has the power. That was a unanimous, clear decision of the High Court, and so there is no excuse. The nonsense that the religiously fundamentalist and extremist groups run, that they have a right to interfere and they have a right to try to change the precedents on a matter of general legislation, on civil marriage. Civil marriage is what we have in Australia, not religious marriage. They can do what they like in their ceremonies.
The Presbyterian Church has already said they're going to stop marrying anybody, including the straight couples, if marriage equality comes in. Good on them, I thought.
Good on them, yes. That's a bit like
France. Cutting off your nose to spite your face, really.
Well, I mean, I think there's a good argument, isn't there, that we should go the French way that's been there for a long, long time, since Napoleon's time, actually, where civil marriage is civil marriage. And the church has nothing to do with it. There's nothing to stop you having a mass or a whatever you call it after you're married, but only the state can marry people. So, look, the equality agenda is under real risk if we have a plebiscite. There will be exactly the sorts of provocations that cause psychological harm and validates those who commit serious crimes. the only the thing that prevents us having the American disasters is that we at least have decent, moderately decent gun laws. They could probably be better, but they're much, much better than America's. So it's much less likely that we can have the sort of outrage that the fundamentalist extremists in America have validated by a whole range of oratory and state laws, for that matter, or attempts to have state laws in violation of the Constitution, even in the last few months. All of those things contribute to a temperature and a validation of breaches of equality, breaches of human rights, homophobia, transphobia, all of those things.
Okay, dear listeners, if you want to get involved in this discussion, you can. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949, or you can email us onair@joy.org.au, and you can tell us what you think about all of this. And we shall be back online in just a moment with Anna Brown. Thank you, John.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
We have on the phone with us now power lesbian number one, Anna Brown. Hello, Anna.
Hi, Tim.
How are you?
Hello. I'm well.
And I hope you're sitting with your feet up listening to the radio.
Well, I have been listening very intently.
Very good.
To Jamie and Ro. It's been a very interesting program, but I am a bit more comfortable at home compared to you. You are in the cold, wintry studio.
No, we're actually in a very hot studio. It's like a sauna in here at the moment. But anyway, you were the co-convener of the Victorian Gay and Rights Lobby, weren't you?
And yes, I think 4 years.
But you've now got another co-convenorship role. Would you like to tell us a bit about what you've, how you've sort of floated up a bit further in this miasma of LGBTI politics?
You mean my role at the Human Rights Law Centre?
No, your role at Australians for Equality.
Oh, okay. So the Australians for Equality, I mean, it's quite a new organisation. It's an organisation that still hopefully won't need to be fully established, but at the moment it's being set up to prepare for a plebiscite because we need to prepare now for the eventuality of one, even though at the moment, obviously, we need to be, as a community, devoting all the resources we can to fighting a plebiscite and hopefully we don't have one. But if we do, we need to be planning now. So that's what Australians for Equality is doing, mobilising the community and our allies to get ready.
Good. That sounds like a very good task, and I can't think of anybody better to be in a leadership position in that than you, given the work that you've done in the past with human rights. Because you are, in your daytime job, a human rights lawyer at the Human Rights Law Centre, aren't you?
Yeah, well, at the centre we do have an LGBTI rights unit, so I run that. And we're very lucky to have someone like Jamie on our board, so lots of great supporters of LGBTI rights work in our organisation. And in that role, it means that I work on strategic litigation, like the our intervention in the marriage High Court matter that was talked about earlier. And the Norrie case, for example, we also intervened in that case around recognition of gender, but also work on law and policy reform, such as the scheme to expunge historical convictions for homosexual offences. And obviously a lot of that work's been done closely with Jamie as well.
So the equality agenda that is in place in Victoria, what do you think is the importance of that in the community? Particularly, I'd like to sort of see if we can broaden out. Is there an importance to the general community in that equality agenda, not just to LGBTI people? Jamie, you might like to enter into that as well.
You go first, Anna.
Well, I think, I mean, the equality agenda is about all of us, and it's about valuing LGBTI Victorians and acknowledging that they aren't equal and that there's still a lot of work to be done to ensure that we are. And that work is about law reform, but it's also about all the work that Ro and her team do and the task force and others are driving through across all government programs. And that means that everyone across government, whether they're part of the LGBTI community or not, is really vital to make to getting it done. And we can, you know, develop as many allies as we can within the broader community. And so, and this is what I think is so fantastic about the leadership that Daniel Andrews is showing in this area. It's about valuing us as a community and our contribution, but also recognising that it's the diversity of Victoria that makes it great. And it's by coming together as a community and valuing each other and our diversity that we can do really great things.
Yeah, I'd probably add to that. I absolutely agree. And the value of making equality such an important part, LGBTI equality, because it's one of the ones that has received the least public recognition, joins with racial equality, recognition of Indigenous, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, and sex discrimination, women's equality. They're all important. They're all about valuing the dignity and equal rights of everyone and dealing with valuing difference, valuing each person, and where people are linked in various ways, valuing their communities, so that there are a number of groups in society whose members have been discriminated against in the past, who've been treated as second-class citizens, and there's been at least a formal recognition of that in many of the areas. Frankly, the LGBTI area is probably about the last one to be formally recognised, but all of them still need work. We don't have a society that is as fair and equal as we should have and as we are working towards. But focusing currently on the value of the LGBTI community, at the same time, because government can do more than one thing at a time, at the same time as having a strong focus on women's equality, having a strong multicultural focus, having a strong focus on Aboriginal reconciliation, all of these things add together, and with a hole in any one of them, the whole structure would be weakened. So there is a network, a web of interconnections that constitute a society. And if one bit of us are being devalued, that is a hole in the whole web. So that's, I think, another sense in which, at the broader level, concentrating on equality and the equality agenda, concentrating on gender and sexuality as it is, completes a patchwork and a quilt of diversity valuing, which really benefits the whole of society. Everyone, of course, has LGBTI friends or family or colleagues, absolutely everyone, or neighbours. And so equally, we touch everyone, and everyone, regardless of what they're aware of, touches us. So that's the second manifestation of that.
Well, I think that's a fairly important important exposition of the importance of it. And I think the one thing that I would add would be that I hope that it provides the space and the legitimacy for LGBTI leaders to actually become leaders across the community in other areas. So it would be nice to be able to see an LGBTI person unashamedly accepted as a political leader. And we do have one jurisdiction where we have an openly LGBTI political leader in Australia.
Yes, the ACT Chief Minister.
Yep, and so it can happen, and it should be able to happen. And I think the equality agenda, which Ro is leading in the government arena, is really important in that way. What do you think, Ro?
Look, I was just talking before about that authorising environment, and I think the equality agenda has allowed Australia's first gay imam to come out in Victoria safely as he can, and that's incredibly important today as we think about our Muslim LGBTI brothers and sisters in the face of the tragedy as well. And that means that he has the support around him, and we can do a whole lot of work which we couldn't probably do 20 years ago, and we can address homophobia within all faith, race, religious communities. With the multicultural money for LGBTI people announced out of the Office of Multicultural Affairs, not out of the Equality Unit, but out of a different portfolio in multicultural affairs, it says this is going to happen right across government, and this is a fantastic time and a fantastic space.
Anna, is there anything that you would like to add to that?
No, I think we've done a pretty good job of covering everything.
Excellent. Well, we are going to wrap up that bit of the conversation now, and we're going to go to some more community services announcement. We're going to come back and hear from Rory. So, thank you, John.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hi there, Joysters. You are listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we are rapidly approaching the end of our show. I want to say thank you to Commissioner Rowena Allen and to Jamie Gardner, and to thank Anna Brown for being on the phone. And I just want to now ask Rory, who's been sitting here patiently all night listening to a whole bunch of cisgendered oldies. Well, I can say that about me. I can't possibly say that about Rowena. She's such a sweet young thing.
It's all relative. I'm old, really.
Oh, you are not.
Well, everyone's very interesting, so it hasn't been so, me just listening bored.
Does this mean anything to you, this whole discussion?
It does.
Because you're only a youngster, aren't you? You're what, 20?
Yes. It does, and just briefly, I did a speech last week at the UNICEF launch of the Child's Report. I spoke there, and I'm actually in the report. And what I've found there, like now, and seeing just Victoria especially, Victorian government, it's just listening to young people and listening to LGBTI individuals. And I think, and what I've seen today and in the face of the Orlando shooting and especially in the Safe Schools attacks, is a lot of young people are feeling quite isolated and alone. And, I mean, we know the suicide statistics are just abominable for LGBTI young people, particularly trans young people. So to see our government and leaders within the community having a voice being heard, like what you were saying about Bill Shorten, was extremely interesting as well, that this commissioner role will be brought nationally. That to me is so amazing, and just to know that there are ways to reach out in the community and that we're being listened to, I think is so important.
Does that make you feel safer?
It does, in a way.
Does it make it easier for you to come out? I mean, I imagine coming out as a young trans person is actually a very, very difficult thing, probably harder than coming out as gay. So does it easier is probably not the right word, but does it make it different for you?
It does. I mean, I have to pick where I come out, and I generally do.
Do it on air, like.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, I'm given this position on air, getting all these opportunities with minus 18, and in those spaces I feel safe and listened to and respected, which are things that I'm finding is a lot more prevalent in Victoria.
Because you're a Sydney boy, aren't you?
Yes, originally? I am. And again, it's just things, noticeable differences, like in the response to Gaby Baby, in the response of the different state governments to Safe Schools. I think you can kind of see the spaces where LGBTI identities are respected, and then kind of figure out if you will be safe coming out, or if things go wrong and you're discriminated against, who you can go to for support and help. And here it's great because not only our political leaders listening, but you know, with all the task forces that you're talking about, having medical leaders on board as well, legal changes, because all these things I spoke about in my speech, like the difficulties with changing sex markers and accessing hormones, and with birth certificates, I think these are issues that I know are being listened to by our government, and I think that's incredibly important.
Well, thank you for that. I think that it is important. It's good to hear that difference is being made, and that the sort of work that some of us have been doing over the years is paying off.
It is. It's making a big difference. And it's also, I think, revealing where we need to go forward. But I guess listening to young people and saying, where do you think we should go? Looking at intersectionality and saying, okay, we've done these issues, where can we go to further trans rights? I think those things are incredibly important and just amazing, really, to see the changes that are happening.
And what I find is that the openness of people like Martin Foley and Mark Dreyfus at the federal level to actually listen to the possibility of more reform, considering that it has moved fairly fast over the past year, is quite heartening.
It is.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Okay, Joysters, you're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. And if you're just joining us now, we're at the end of the show. But if you want to hear what you missed out on, which was a discussion with Commissioner Owen Allen and Jamie Gardner and Anna Brown about the Victorian Equality Agenda and some bits and pieces about the federal election thrown in there and some stuff from Rory about the value of the Equality Agenda to young people, then you can go to our podcast. Go to joy.org.au and go to podcasts or find Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9 and you can listen to this again on podcast. It'll be up probably by the end of the week. Or you can go, once it gets up, to iTunes or your favourite podcast venue, wherever that might be. There's a few others, I think, but I don't know what they're called because I'm a technophobe. You can go to those and listen to us again. But thank you, Ro, so much for coming in, because I think, as I just was trying to find out how many times I've had Rowena on the show this year, which I think is four times, so we might give her a break for at least a month now.
Oh, well, that's always a joy, Jim.
But we will get you back at some stage to talk about the Pride Centre in the near future. And Rory, we'll be getting you back to talk about young people soon enough, I think.
Oh, I'm sure.
And Jamie, we'll be getting you back to talk about what is the federal equality agenda going to look like. I'd say we'll be doing that fairly soon.
That sounds an exciting prospect. I look forward to it.
He's going to go off and do some research now. So that will be really interesting to see what comes out of that. So thank you all for listening, and over the next couple of weeks we've got some exciting shows coming up. We'll have our regular HIV show, and we've given Clovis Palmer from the Burnet Institute a challenge. He's been reading one paper a day, one important HIV paper a day, starting with the very first paper that came out ever about HIV, which was the report of this terrible new virus that had been isolated with regard to pneumocystis pneumonia and Kaposi sarcoma and so on, and the first paper in Nature or somewhere that came out with the fact that there was a discovery, a simultaneous discovery in France and the US, so the myth goes, that they'd discovered a virus. And he's read that, and he's read a whole series of more recent developments with HIV, and he's going to come on our show and he's going to talk about those things. So if you want to listen to that, that'll be in a couple of weeks' time. And we hope to hear you with us in the near future. So keep listening Monday nights at 10 p.m. It's Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.